will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
This beautiful voice belongs to our guest for today, Crystal Ray, and I'm so excited to share more of where that came from, so stay tuned. All right, here we are, my friends. Welcome to Creative in Process, a podcast where I talk with everyday humans on what it means to be creative in the 21st century. I'm your host, Lisa, and I'm also a speaker, leadership and spirituality coach, and content creator. And I believe all of us are creative, whether we're engineers or athletes or musicians or accountants. Yes, accountants. And as I mentioned, our guest for today is the spectacular voice behind the first seconds of this episode, Crystal Ray. Crystal is a full-time lover and liver of life. She is at once wife, mom, educator, singer, worship leader, entrepreneur at Mary Kay and Beautifly You. And last but not least, Jesus follower and foodie. And let me just tell you, creativity, faith, and food is a powerful trifecta for fun. Crystal and I first got to chatting at a paint night. And like it was one of those where everyone draws the same painting, but somehow they never quite turn out the same. We bonded over painting the Lion King dancing under the moon. And more importantly, eating so many fries. I'll never forget how beautiful our paintings were or how many fries we consumed. Today, Crystal and I chat about butterflies, the importance of community, how to practice self-care when you're momming, lifing, and working all at once, how to create safe spaces even when we didn't have them as kids, how to attend to family members with completely different creative needs, why cleaning and organization are intensely creative acts, and lots more. I love this chat because first of all, my girl has soul, and she is unabashedly unafraid to be precisely who she is. So buckle up and join us as we dive in. Let's go. Well, welcome, Crystal. I am so thrilled to finally have you with me in this space. I'm really excited for this.
I'm excited too.
Before we dive into what I really want to talk to you about, I just want to hear a little bit more of your story. Specifically, want to talk about family, just because you talk so much about your family and how it shaped you. So I'm wondering, what did creativity look like in your family, and how did growing up in the family you did shape your understanding of what creativity looks like in your life?
So I grew up in the 90s. It's now 2024, and everything's different. All the kids have like electronic devices. They have iPads, they have cell phones, they have video games. And we had them, but they were so different back then. We did things like play cards, and like if we wanted to play outside, we made something out of nothing. Like we'd use milk crates and throw basketballs inside of them if like we couldn't get to a playground, you know, just those kind of things. Or like doing hopscotch, like drawing hopscotch out and using a rock to jump and skip, you know? And so things back then were a little bit different. Also, I think a lot of things that helped me to become creative was my dad. When he disciplined us, we had to learn to read. So he would have us read chapter books. And so I think that just kind of expanded my mind to just having like an imagination, right? Because you have to imagine what you're reading and like see the story. So I think that's what enhanced my creativity, was just being a reader. Or even on my downtime, I would write, I would draw, I would paint. I did things that, you know, just kind of kept me busy.
I've never heard of someone, I'm sure they're out there, but people who will cite a discipline or something that they were punished with as an avenue for them to exercise creative energy. And I love that. How does, if at all, any of those activities bleed into or influence what you do even now?
Well, I love to read now. I'm learning how to transfer from physical books to audiobooks. But I think it helped me to become a really good writer, where like, when there's a lot going on for me, I'm able to write. And as I write, I like to doodle. That kind of just came about. As I'd write, I'd be like, oh, let me draw pictures to this. Or let me sing this out, you know, let me sing these words out. How does it sound, right? And so I think that's how it connected creativity for me, is that like, although there was a discipline, it kind of was turned into something different for me. reading is, for me, it's a self-care thing. So like if I'm going through stress, or I can find things that feed me, that fill me, whether it's reading the word or finding some type of drama or a novel book where I'm able to just put myself in a different place for the time being, right? And like just read about a different character to get away from maybe something I'm going through, right? Mm.
You're already talking about transporting yourself into a different place for the time being. And I really wanted to talk to you about creativity as a safe place, as a safe space. And you've described that in the past as something that's true for you across multiple areas of your life, even today. I care really deeply about this topic because I'm all about creating or attempting to create safe spaces for people. Could you talk a little bit more about creativity as a safe space and what that looks like for you or even other people in your life? I'd love you to describe colors, images, feelings, anything that emerges for you.
I'll say it started with music, if I could speak of creativity. I remember we used to have radios where you could like record yourself. And you know, back then everything was like a tape recorder. I didn't really realize I had a voice and that like it's something that I could use. I just know that when I went through things, I would write, I would sing how I felt, and I would record it. And I remember one of my cousins, he came to live with us for a period of time, and he would rap, I would sing, and we literally would like make music when we went through things. And I remember one of the songs was about my parents not understanding what we go through. They always gotta yell, they always gotta, you know? And we were just really expressive and creative. And then even for me, like when I would feel a certain way, drawing was kind of something that was big for me. I've always loved art. I've always been really artsy. Painting is a big thing for me. Those were the outlets. Even now when I'm going through things, I'm always trying to find ways to just like make something or keep myself busy, whether it's a way to practice self-care or whether it's a way to like get on Canva and make cool little things up or go in the kitchen and start cooking and put a whole bunch of recipes together, not even knowing what I'm putting together, but I know it's going to taste good, smell good, and it's going to feel good when everyone eats it. Those are some of the ways for me.
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned singing and using your voice in those spaces where you were going through things, and also bringing in a family member to create a dynamic duo with music. The picture that I hold of you and many people hold is just this very soulful, steadfast, confident voice that you have when you're leading worship. And I know a lot of these songs do speak to the hard places, the dark places, but they're also quite hopeful. And I'm just really curious, how do you balance these days, or maybe with the songs that you would write, making space for both the hard things and your real authentic emotions, but also making space for joy and hope?
I think my day just starts out just being able to just be like, thank you, God, for a new day. That's step one. Like I said, music's always a part of my day. So like maybe worship's on in my classroom before kids walk in, right? That's my space where I'm able to just like let everything off my chest, or maybe I'm able to cry out for 2 minutes. And that's where my peaceful space is created. Or even at home, when it gets overwhelming, you know, for me, my kids know up when mom turns on her worship music, it's her time to kind of just create space for herself. Like, don't bother her. Don't tell her to turn it down. Like, she's gonna sing because that's what she does. Or like sometimes it's just cleaning. And of course the music goes on. And then I do something on Saturday where like I have like a self-care day for me. And that can look like getting online with clients and helping them feel good about themselves. Or it could just be me maybe just having a facial mask and some tea for 10 minutes before my day starts. Or I love to paint. So I'll go on YouTube and I'll find different tutorials that I really want to paint. I'll just go for it. People are like, how do you have this energy? Like, you're recovering from not feeling good. You have kids at home. You know, you're a teacher throughout the week. And you still have time to do this stuff. Sometimes I don't have time, but I make it in the time that I have to just like breathe. you know, and also just keeping God as my safety net. Like, the one thing that I know that I have, it's probably my strongest gift, is having faith. That when things are overwhelming, or even when things are great, I just know that I can go to God and He hears me. And He may not answer right then and there. I always feel like He does, because I'll feel at peace. And then even now, I didn't mention this, but having a husband now. I was a single mom for a long time. And so just saying, hey, like, go get your nails done, or go do this, or go do that. You've been momming and lifing and studying, like, you deserve to get out of the house. One time he even like paid for me to have like a getaway. For me, it's like, huh, what? You're gonna do this for me? So I think just even having a person that cares, who's just very open to me creating space and time for myself.
Organically, you're talking about your family and some really healthy creative boundaries that you're drawing. Has it felt more important to you these days with just momming, lifing, working, all sorts of responsibilities you're juggling? How has that sort of evolved over time for you?
You kind of mentioned it's always been important to me. I don't know, it's weird. I've always kind of been to myself just as a person. A lot of people think that because when I walk into a room and I can like welcome people in and give high fives and hugs, that like I'm social, but I'm really super antisocial and I'm really super introverted, and I'm actually more shy than people think I am. I just think that something comes over me at a time when like I'm in certain places where like, okay, I feel safe. I feel comfortable here. I naturally was a person who just took time for herself. And as I got older, I learned how to just develop that skill and not overcommit to too many things. Or at one point in my life, I became a yes person. And that was really overwhelming. And I got tired of saying yes to so many things and people were still not satisfied. And so I make it a point now where it's like, it's okay for me to be like, no, can't do this, or, you know, no, can't do that, no, not available, and just rest or just relax or just spend time with my kids and not feel guilty. And then I think it also was like being the middle child growing up. I had two older sisters and a younger brother. My oldest sister, I think we're like 13 years apart. And so she wasn't really home. So it was like my older sister, me, and then my little brother. Always having to be that middle person in the household, I had to know how to just take time to step away and like have peace for myself.
I'm also curious, with family that I know aren't of the faith and weren't of the faith, how does that family and the interaction around shared space that's safe look similar or different from the way that you did it growing up?
When I grew up, everything in my house was divided. My mom and dad slept in separate bedrooms. Everything in the fridge was like, this is mom's, this is dad's, this is for the kids, you know? And so like, you kind of grew up with like, oh, where do I go? What do I do? What do I touch? What is having to deal with that? It really put a lot of pressure on me, even down to like, when is it okay to go to a parent and when is it not okay, right? Or like, when do I have to be the parent? I didn't have a horrible childhood, right? Things weren't bad, but I think that my parents had to understand how to be a parent. Like, they started so young. The times for them were different because they started back in like the 70s and the 80s. So things, the work ethic, technology, all that stuff, everything was so different back then. And it's just things that I try to understand as I'm growing and developing. But I just made it a pact that I would be the parent that's present and that makes my children feel a part of the family no matter what. And what belongs to me belongs to you. Just ask for it, right? And then creating times for us to be a family, and then times where like you can go out and be you. And that's just really important to me. We're all introverts. So there's times where people will come over and we're all doing our own thing. But then there's times where like we can get the hot chocolate and the blankets and the pillows and open up all the couches and watch movies and or play games. We love doing Monopoly. it's really funny. With my son, we'll do like mother-son dates, my oldest, because we always did that. And getting married and having a second child, I try to create that space to say like, hey, you're always still going to be number one. That's not going to change. Like, where we started doesn't have to be over because this person's here and this person's here, right? And although we're a family, I think it's important that he feels loved. He feels like he can go to his mom to confide in her, that it's a safe place for him. Keeping like faith inside of that too. So like I grew up in a home where you kind of had asked. There was nothing about God in my home. I found the church on my own. I think I was like 9 years old, just walking to the store to get milk from my mom, and someone invited me to youth group at a church. And what did I do? I went to youth group and I put my mom's milk in the fridge and she came looking for me. But at 9 years old, someone just invited me in. I found that, and I made sure that when I raised my kids, I raised them in the church. Mm-hmm. My husband, he's like a new believer. And I try not to pressure him or push religion or any of that on him, but kind of let him have his own journey, give him the time to grow spiritually. But we're able to do things like pray and, you know, getting him out of his comfort zone sometimes to say like, hey, things are getting crazy. What should we pray about? And I think that that's what makes home different than growing up is like, everything was fighting, arguing, disagreements. This is here, that is there. Whereas now, communication is key, right? And like, hey, what do you need? Or what's something that I'm doing that might make you feel heavy right now, right? How can I lift a load off of you? That's the complete difference, mm-hmm. is that I make the time for it.
Yeah. Growing up, I don't feel like I personally had in my own way creative outlets or space that felt as safe, but I've really made that a huge priority for me as an adult with my husband, not my kids because they're non-existent currently, except for a furry one who's very cute. And I'm just always curious about things that we didn't receive that we now fill our lives with. And how that happens and where that comes from when we're able to do that. And part of it sounds like it's just who you are. Like it's almost like you can't help but not do that. But is there anything else that you feel like has really shaped being able to prioritize that and figure out what that even looks like for you and what's authentic? What does that look like for you?
Well, I think that I just became things that I wanted out of life. God rest my mom's soul. I love her. You know, growing up, we didn't have the best relationship. And it wasn't until I became a mom that we got really close. And we spent a lot of time together before she was like able to pass. And I was able to understand her and she was able to understand me. But the main thing for me is community, because it was something that I lacked. God placed spiritual moms in my life who are able to speak into me, help me to grow and know who I was in Christ. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. There was always something going on. Even though I had to take my little brother with me, he was with kids that were his age and I was with people who were my age. And it helped me to just develop the confidence and the skills that I needed to be like who I am. Once I became what I didn't have, it was easier to find what I needed because I started to just develop those skills. So I looked to say like, okay, well, what do I want to be like? Who do I want to be like, you know? And so I think that's helped me to be able to just even build the community of the village. People who, if I'm speaking into their life, they're speaking into mine and they're not just sucking me dry and taking life from me. I'm very intentional about that, making sure that I have community and that I have a village, because it was something that I lacked growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially you're talking about you and your brother, very different age groups, very different activities. I'm just thinking about your kids right now and how one is a teenager and one of them is not, like a significantly more adorable and smaller.
Yeah.
And so you already described the fact that the first kid wanted to still have attention and recognition after you had the second one. It's a beautiful problem to have, but there's different needs that they have creatively, different spaces they need. As a mom who became what she wanted to be and what she didn't receive, how does that kind of impact the way that you create space for these two kids?
They're definitely two different age groups. I have a 16-year-old and I have a soon-to-be 5-year-old. They both have two different personalities. One's very emotional. The other one is just very, like, to himself. So with my oldest one, JJ, started with, like, just going to little, like, parent groups. And the city of Cambridge had something called Baby U. I was able to go to, like, these classes, per se, on weekends where he would go with a group of kids his age. And I'd sit with parents and I'd get all the tools that I need to be a parent. When it gets hard, when it gets rough, what do I do? And so I think that's just starting from when he was younger, creating community for him and making sure that there were people in our lives that when things get hard or rough, that there's someone to go to. It's not just me. And keep going out and building it. Now JJ's 16, he plays basketball. He's involved in some mentorship and leadership programs that just help him to become more of a man. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but my youngest Levi has autism. And so things for him are completely different. As much as he can be like emotional and have his challenges, I just have to make sure that I create things for him to just have his creative space. And that can just look like spending time with him on the weekends and letting him build Legos and creating spaces for him to grow socially. And then at home, doing gatherings, like family gatherings, opening our home for like holidays and things like that where the kids are able to kind of just see something different. I saw those things growing up, but it was always drama because we've already created a peaceful atmosphere at home. When people come in, they feel that peace, they feel welcome, they feel fed, they feel happy. Those are things that I try to pass on to them. I need community, and I need community in different areas of my life. So like in my spiritual walk, I need community there. In my career, I need community there. Even family relationship in village is really, you know, important too. And being able to be with like our married friends or our coupled friends from time to time and like learn from them. You still need friends that can help push you into your purpose and just have a space where you can just do and be who you be. Mm-hmm. I think community is huge for me.
Yeah. And I'm curious too about your husband, Larry, and kind of what all this looks like for him, or at least how it affects him when there's all this action going on at home and creative energy and different needs and different communities. How is this for him?
I don't know where he came from. I don't know where God dropped him from. He just agrees to everything. I don't take advantage. I'll like ask a million times, like, are you sure? Are you okay? He usually says, I'm okay. They always say okay is like that safe word for not okay, mm-hmm. right?
The loaded word.
But he lets me know what he can handle, what he can't handle. And he's very adaptable. I'm adaptable, but to a certain extent. Like, I have to ask the what, the why, the how, the when, you know? Whereas him, he scopes it out, but he's okay. I will say that, like, he's really humble about a lot of the things that's going on. And I always appreciate it because it could be different. But I do always check in with him first. He always checks in with me. And yeah, he's just always cool with things.
How do your husband and creativity play with each other, and do you see him having spaces in his life, shared or not shared, that allow him to be a kid? Or I know he works with freezers and meat.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
So yeah, give him food and he can cook it. He's a really good chef. So I think that working in a freezer and being a butcher has really helped him to use that type of side. He's like a video game person. He likes gaming, whether it's like his phone or the PlayStation or Xbox, whatever they are. But I think those are his moments of being creative, making the characters and there's creative ways when it comes to like staying organized and like keeping things neat and together. He has like a science for it, right? And like these cool creative ways of doing things. Even having conversations with him, it's always like, how does your mind just like go into this space? It's so cool.
I'm glad that you mentioned organization as a creative act, because I feel like a lot of people push back against that just by default, because it's not a traditionally super colorful, high energy thing. It feels very methodical, as scientific, but I feel like the act of creating structure and order in the world is how it all started. Yeah. And so putting things in their place and knowing what's for this and what's not for this is incredibly creative. And so it sounds like your husband is imaging God in some really significant ways.
Yeah, that's his strength. Like, he knows how to take a whole lot of things and reduce it. And you're like, whoa, how did you do that? He's probably better with like interior things than I am. But it's funny, as far as like organization and creativity goes, if you ever see my planner, my date book, my calendar, everything's color coded. There's like pictures and words and stickers just speaking to like organization, order, and like even creativity. For some of us, it is colorful, right? Mm-hmm. I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. If it's purple, it means this. If it's blue, it means church. If it's orange, it means kids. That's another creative way that we stay on task.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's a perfect marriage of things that make you happy with things that you need to get done. So, well, at the end of each episode, I like to invite all my guests into a conversation about a really huge, broad, expansive topic that I just coined as quality of being. And basically, it just talks about what's happening in our souls, what's happening on the inside in our humanity, as all of the progress around us in culture and society is flashing before our eyes. I want to ask, who are we becoming in this process, and who or what is helping us to explore and grow who we just are? I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic or what this evokes for you.
Who am I becoming? A butterfly.
That's great.
But no, I think that's literally like the emblem from my life, is just the stages, right? The stages of the butterfly and being able to grow in confidence and like knowing who I am, whose I am. Just have Job-like faith. I actually been studying that book as the year has begun, and I think about how so many things have happened. You know, there's just been like sickness in the family and chaos going on. And I open to the book of Job and I'm just like, wow, that's that kind of like faith that I want to have.
I would love to hear, like, is there a person? You talk about all these amazing women who sort of spiritually mommed you and a certain season of your life, or maybe even now, are there people or a person that you think of that really you're just thankful for it and helping you to become and helping you to hold on to Job, which is no joke,
really?
The size of his faith. So who's walking in a way that has really been impactful for you?
I would say, I think it was the youth pastor that I had growing up. She really helped me to grow spiritually, to go physically. We even had moments of like we've bumped heads, but not in a bad sense, in a way where when I can sit back and reflect and say like, wow, your iron sharpened my iron. And I really just have always looked up to the person that like she was, her work ethic, how she managed her family, how she took care of herself, how she was as a wife, as a pastor, as a minister, in so many different things. And I think just having her there growing up was really essential for me. She's definitely one of the like bold, courageous women that have been there. And then of course, like Pastor Larry, I look up to him so much. He's been a great, great like role model in my life, although he's not a woman. I think spiritually, I just have always appreciated how he goes above and beyond. It doesn't stop. It just like keeps going. There's nothing like having people that believe in you, that see things in you that you don't always see in yourself. And, you know, they don't give up. They just keep pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And even when you're annoyed, because you're like, why do you keep? It just helps you to strengthen the muscles that you didn't know you had. And boom, it's like, this is the person that's birthed. And this is the person who you become. Yeah.
It's a butterfly.
Yeah. Man, listen. My story, this is just a little piece, okay? I'm like thinking of a tree and the branches, but like when we think of the roots and all the things that like I've been through to become a beautiful tree and grow, it's been a process. I've definitely needed the people along the way to even continue in it. There's been times where even as a creative, like sometimes it can be overwhelming, right? But when you don't have the people that can keep you on the straight and narrow, or the people who can speak into your life, or the people who can create the platforms for your gifts, because I like to use everything. Mm-hmm. I don't just limit myself to one and say, oh, okay, I sing, so I'm just going to be a music teacher and do this for the rest of my life. And it's like, no, I like to create content. I'm an educator. I like to create curriculum plans and like be the big kid at heart and watch little kids bring the dream that I had to life and go, wow, this is awesome, right? And so knowing that like there's those people who can help push you and keep you on that path, even when it's really hard, is just amazing. So I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful because this butterfly
has rainbows.
Been flying. Oh, yeah. Lots of rainbows.
I love it. I love it. That's right. Beautiful ending. Thank you so much for showing up and being who you are and butterflying with me. It's been a pleasure.
It was a pleasure doing this with you.
I love what Crystal shared at the end. Yes, we are all becoming big, beautiful butterflies. And as multifaceted and complex as we are at each stage of this creative process, we need people, people who believe in us and who keep pushing and keep believing, even at the expense of being massively annoying to us. This is the ground of so much of the creative journey of becoming. So I invite you all today to check in with your village. Take inventory of those one or two people who believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. And take some time to give thanks for them, love them, and hold on to them. You can learn more about Crystal on Instagram at Crystal Ursula and at beautifly.blessed. You can also contact her at crystalraymusic@gmail.com. Don't worry, I'll include all this information in the show notes. Again, this is Lisa, and thanks for joining me for this conversation of Creative in Process. I'll have new episodes up every month, so be sure to follow and stay tuned. And I'd love it if you could leave me a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It just helps me know what I do well and how to make this space even better for listeners like you. By the way, Happy New Year! Friends, I hope 2024 finds you warm, safe, and a little lighter, a little brighter, a little more filled with wonder than last year. All right, talk to you again next month.